To the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by Holly Anderson, Jason Kirk, Ryan Annie, and on the ones and twos, Michael Serber.
Was that a record skip?
Yeah.
Yep.
What?
Wicker, wicker, wicker. You're all looking wonderful today. I know podcasting's an audio meme, but it is good to see all of your faces because I have news for you. Hark, an update from Austin, Texas. That's right. The news, as one would say, is back from Texas because I don't know if you watched Quinn Ewers last season for the Texas Longhorns. Quinn Ewers, he looked awesome. And I'm not just saying that because he had a mullet. Mullet's gone. He's updated the haircut, but at the time, looked pretty glorious. Quinn Ewers also earned the admiration of, I think, everyone here and in the sport at large by signing large NIL deals when he was originally a Buckeyes commit and then immediately transferring to Texas,
correct,
taking the money with him. This is the optimal move to take money out of Ohio and into the state of Texas away from the Buckeye state. We all liked him, and yet going into spring because, I don't know, we got to do these things. After the Longhorns' first spring practice, Coach Steve Sarkisian said on Monday that all positions are up for grabs, including quarterback.
Spencer, does Quinn Ewers have some kind of competition at quarterback?
Freshman Arch Manning will compete for the starting job.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think we have a tendency to look at this with, like, oh, come on. Like, whenever coaches do this, whenever they say there's an open competition, when it seems like there should be one clear decision. And I think we either, like, question that logic or convince ourselves it's, like, a motivational tactic. Maybe not even for the position in question, but just to sort of tell your team, like, everyone has to earn blah, blah, blah.
I have the opposite opinion of that. I don't think that's true at all.
Mm-mm.
But what if it's just laziness? Like, isn't the laziest thing to do to just say, like, we don't have a QB1 right now because I don't want to think about it?
Well, the thing that I was going to say is, like, why wouldn't you say we don't have a QB1 right now? It's March.
Sure.
Like, of course you don't have a QB1 right now. Like, to me, it's idiotic in the other direction.
Okay. That's fair.
In which direction?
In getting mad about it?
I mean, it's idiotic in the direction of why are we trying to make this a thing? Of course, mm-hmm. This is what it is. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm playing Nintendo.
So is Quinn Ewers. That's why he's going to lose the starting job to Arch Manning.
I feel like with Ewers, there's this thing where we saw him against Bama, and we saw they played very well against Bama, and he made some very nice throws. And that is the last image for a whole lot of us of him. Like, in a lot of our minds, that is who that football player is. He played well. Everyone in the entire stadium on Texas's side played well against Oklahoma. Other than that, I don't know if the rest of his season established him as, like, a guy who couldn't give up some snaps to a highly touted freshman.
No, that's fair.
Because, like, there was a lot of questionable performances otherwise on the game log.
But I guess to Holly's point, this is a lot like asking an 8-year-old what they're going to be for Halloween in March. It's like, it doesn't matter what they say now.
There's actually multiple parallels to that with Sark.
We have months to figure that out, and the answer will change, and the answer will be unexpected, possibly. Like, in the same way that I'm not going out and buying my oldest a Halloween costume tomorrow, you don't need a QB1 today.
Coward.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan, but Halloween costumes take a lot of time to plan.
You're right.
Particularly if they're, like, tandem based, you know, like two friends who decide they're going to wear their corresponding costumes. That's a lot of planning. Like, you might have to finalize that by.
You need,
like,
the reps.
August.
That's, yeah. Yeah. And if you don't have the reps, people are going to know and people are going to say, yeah, no, you're right.
Justify your disdain for Halloween Town.
This is how you build. This is how you build leadership in a competitive situation like this. Quinn Ewers, Arch Manning, couples costume.
Who is the horse head and who is the horse?
That's butt? I was going to say we're building to the horse head and horse hind.
No, I think that's the best way you teach them to work as a unit.
Okay.
Well, then you know what I mean. We're establishing a QB1 or QB2 depth chart, and I mean, it's right. One name is still first.
Yeah, talk.
You're not fooling anyone.
Here's the thing, though. we don't have to disclose that. The media just needs to know there's a horse, there's a two-person horse costume out there taking QB reps.
Let's see. What are their course, their,
you know what I'm going to do?
Heights.
Yeah. I'm going to prove that I'm a grinder to my O-line and all of the people who do the dirty work on the team by volunteering to be the horse's ass. That's what I'm going to do.
In the play.
Yeah.
So Quinn Ewers, 6'2", Arch Manning, 6'4". We will be able to tell which one is the ass.
Got that high butt. I know that's Arch back there.
Imagine Arch Manning being
Phil Jackson high ass.
Arch Manning being like, yeah, sorry, I got sciatica because I was a horse's butt for 3 months in camp.
So Arch, are you named after your grandfather? No, actually, I just have a really tall perineum since birth.
Yeah, way up there. Number of times Quinn Ewers passed for 300 yards in the regular season last year. One in a loss to Oklahoma State, which looks even more hilarious now in retrospect. Additionally, by the way, Quinn Ewers has taken this seriously. You talk about picking which part of the costume you want to keep. Sarkisian, I think somewhat tongue-in-cheekedly, but then not, said, yeah, he's all of a sudden the guy gets a haircut and a beard and everyone thinks Quinn's real serious now. But he wants to be a leader, and that doesn't change what he does day to day, but appearance is what it is. And I think him recognizing that shows some maturity.
He had a pretty goofy haircut last year, for what it's worth.
He did. You know, it was pretty goofy.
I've decided that this means something else entirely. Mm. We shouldn't have press conferences this early in the year.
Your brain's not warmed up?
Nobody's is.
No talking till June, maybe July.
Yeah, no. Everybody go on vacation.
Or if you're going to do it, you throw real curveballs. Be
do something completely deranged, or, I don't know, go to Branson for a week instead.
Be like, who's TE3? Who's the third tight end? That's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know who the starter is.
We got to go, press.
This following, my favorite too, is that we can stack this silly season in triplicate. We can go three-ply here because Arch Manning, are we really sure that he's ready and he has the maturity to handle this job when he's already lost his student ID twice? And that people have picked it up on campus at Texas and showed it, like they posted it, like, LOL.
I love it.
Got his ID.
I love it. He's focused on football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need an ID in football. You got your jersey.
My ID is QB1.
My ID is to go and score a touchdown. That's my ID.
It's going back to my theory that I want a quarterback who's like almost not functional as a human being, right?
I want a quarterback who either doesn't, what is it? I want a quarterback who either doesn't believe in God, mm-hmm, or
I'm God,
or who believes that God will punish him for not winning a Super Bowl.
So Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, this is my
you know, as a hypothesis, it had a lot of promise.
This is my Big Chungus versus I will kill God and drain the oceans QB.
I feel like Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback who has met the God he doesn't believe in.
Right? Yeah.
I talked to him for 4 days. None of it was real.
And we're not talking anymore. Very real. Pat McAfee, I'm here to tell you. I hate him.
I talked to Pat McAfee. He's not God. Pat McAfee, I think you're God.
Pat's like, you know, we heard from God, and all he said was Aaron's family raises a lot of good points.
As Pat McAfee would say it, God.
So you went down to hell, huh? All the way down.
the harrowing of hell.
That is the accent. Like? That is the accent we should use for all like ancient Roman and Greek movies going forward. Not the British accent. This accent.
Well, it's kinder to the target audience of these films.
Are you not entertained?
What if ancient Roman Empire movies we use modern like extremely Italian accents?
Did we all see the Mark Wahlberg Lent thing?
This 40-day challenge?
Yes.
Yeah, they rebranded Lent as Mark Wahlberg 40-day challenge.
Why not? That's what it is.
I love it.
I'm going to log off for 40 days. That's it.
I didn't actually watch it, and I just want to know if Mark Wahlberg is stating that he could have prevented, I don't know, the death of Christ.
Wait.
Not on my watch.
Is Wahlburgers open on Fridays, and do they serve beef?
Hey, listen, render that
it's part of the
challenge. Under Wahlburgers, which is Wahlburgers.
Do you believe it or not? All right, let's see. I don't see any fish options.
It's an awful lot like you're calling me Italian.
God, are you serious about this or not?
Capitalism's one thing, okay? Some people aren't on to Some people don't believe in the Mark Wahlberg 40-day challenge.
That's right.
There's no, it's not Mark's Wahlberg, buddy.
Yo!
Our story. I don't need this Wahlburgers. I know. Story. It's pretty clear.
Mom, Dad, I got a copywriting job.
I am Spurticus. That's what I'm hearing in the pit accent. Yeah, nobody should be allowed to talk before June. I think that's what we're going to take
away. Not just
from
be
this.
Allowed. I'm just like, who is getting anything out of this?
We are.
Yeah. Look at all the time we've wasted with this.
I didn't wake up today and think, you know what Spencer's going to want to talk about? The quarterback battle at Texas.
Buddy, you know what? I'm full of surprises.
You are.
Much like the quarterback battle at Texas.
No.
Who can say?
Not like that.
I don't think there are any... Like, we know what the result will be, but... I mean, in this situation, I guess it is sort of an evaluating the coach thing. Like, can the coach get through this without saying, of course, the number one recruit will be the starting quarterback this year? Right. Like, that's ultimate... What is the creative way he will get around saying that?
How many times can you say, I love all my children?
Yeah. How can he say this without... the experienced quarterback transferring. Can he get through this?
And he did. We're grading the coach on improv.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's only one coach working I know who is the only actual I hate all of my children coach. And he's at LSU. That's the guy who's like, how is everybody? And you're like, I would shoot them all right now.
He's had a good family offseason himself. So.
Yeah. Did we ever figure out what the deal was with that?
Nope. Sure didn't.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
I think he's still looking for his QB1. In the end, who isn't, huh?
You know, I just hope Brian Kelly's happy.
Why? And also, what would that even look like?
Skulls.
Scary.
A pile of skulls. Yeah, it'd be scary.
Just toasting marshmallows over a burning orphanage.
Yeah, just that man sitting in front of like...
They didn't want it enough.
Just a pile of like I'm just sitting in front of a burning house going at last peace. That's Brian Kelly's brain.
Dr. Manhattan on the moon, but instead of blue, purple. That like fuchsia color he turns.
Yeah. And still wearing pants.
He's got some circulatory issues that ironically make him perfect for LSU.
Just Brian Kelly bowling with cops. I don't know. That's like bowling bunch of cops. That's probably what makes him happy. Like, cops, guys, 1.5 non-alcoholic beers. Fellas, it doesn't get better than this.
Cops being dudes.
Come on. Let's go shoot a bowling ball. It'll be great.
I think
Wait, what's inside a bowling ball?
Skull.
Skull. Oh. Yeah.
That's where the holes come. Right. Yeah. Thank you.
That's what the number is on a bowling ball. It's not the weight. It's the age of the child whose skull was inside.
Yep.
Wow. And
people don't know that.
Skulls age 1 pound per year.
Yep.
This actually really explains why Felder's family is so into bowling.
This is why old people walk slowly. Their skulls weigh as many as 120 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is why Pete Weber is the strongest man on earth. Do you know how many skulls he's thrown?
No, but I also don't know who Pete Weber is.
Well, he has an interesting solution to that problem.
He does. Yeah. He does. He has a thesis.
This is probably the only pro bowler you would have any reason to be exposed to.
It's the guy who said the thing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The guy who said the thing.
There, that's it. The only pro bowler I know is the 300 game on 9/11 guy, and I don't actually
think
he's
a
pro.
Yeah.
It's a pro, in a way.
Yeah. No.
It's definitely a record.
My favorite story of all time. That's it. When somebody's like, Bill Morrow who bowled the perfect game on 9/11. If you think, oh, Bill Morrow bowled that perfect game like in the morning, right? When no one knew what was happening. Nope. Bill Morrow went to the bowling alley that night for America.
What'd you guys do on 9/11? Do you remember?
I didn't go to class. I was a freshman in Florida, and we didn't go to... Here's the thing. There was a lot of talk on that day where they were like, do you think Gainesville is next? And in retrospect, it's like, that's the stupidest fucking thing ever.
Probably not.
Like, how far down the list do you have to go All right. It's time to fucking attack the O'Connell Center.
It's been like four straight days of attacks, and it's like, guys, I think we're next.
Yeah, we got it.
Oh, no. They got Valdosta instead. We're still lower. Yeah.
They're getting closer.
They've taken.
Oh, they only hit Jacksonville. Thank goodness. That's amazing.
Yeah, so,
I just remember thinking, like, because I had to go and work because I was working with refugees at the time, and there was some concern that maybe there would be a, you know, instant backlash, vandalism, violence, etc. I had to sort of make sure people were calm and go out there and figure out, you know, our head from our ass in terms of what we were doing. But I do remember thinking at the time, I was like, there's a lot of people here are going to get in some valuable hours on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, man.
Yeah,
there's a lot of college students who are like, oh man, that's a tragedy. You know, it would make me feel better about the state of things, pulling off a 6.720.
I remember, like, it happened, and my history professor was, like, I think he was, like, a Vietnam veteran. So he's, like, immediately, like, in, like he immediately understood what was happening. He's like, y'all get out of here, go home. And, like, not knowing what else to do, I went to pick up the Jay-Z CD I had ordered and, like,
that's right,
gonna go about my business. And then, like, yes, we went, I'm pretty sure we went and played Gran Turismo until I had to go to work. And then I came back from work, we played more Gran Turismo. And it's like, I remember every minute of that day. And so much of it was, like, weirdly mundane, which is the strangest part.
Sure. This is what you should ask Steve Sarkisian instead of quarterback battle going. Be like, where were you on 9/11? Because if you ask him it in that way, he's going to panic for a second and be like, am I being accused of something here?
I need to speak with my attorney. He was at USC at the time.
He was the quarterback's coach, right?
Yeah.
Don't tell me Jimbo didn't profit off this somehow.
Dana Holgorsen, where were you?
Speaking of USC, you know who the head coach was at the time? His first year? Yeah. Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll, where were you on 9/11? Because I know you have opinions about that.
You've had a lot of things to say, but not a lot of locations to offer.
You know, I walked past Pete Carroll in Indianapolis earlier this week at the NFL Combine, or last week. I could have asked him, but it didn't cross my mind.
You know, I bet I know Pete Carroll's answer. He's like, ah, I remember her. Susan. Invigorating.
That's what you call 9/11, sir?
Yeah.
No. It turns out it was like Eartha Kitt or something.
Yeah.
Like I was in a three-way with Robert Redford and Eartha Kitt.
Yeah. Learned a lot that time. Day. Learned a lot.
That early in the morning, no less.
On like a Tuesday.
Or that late at night. It's really a matter of perspective.
Now. Okay, yeah. West Coast.
Yeah. Dana was at like...
Talk about Dana a second tower.
Dana was at Texas Tech.
Yeah, he was at Texas Tech.
Help.
Thanks.
Help.
Wow.
Help.
You know the thing about sleeping in a culvert.
Does not endorse Jason Kirk's view.
What?
I like that Lord of the Rings.
Reach Jason at Richard Johnson.
Yeah. If Dana was like, yeah, man, I played some Gran Turismo. It was fucking great.
I'm like, we got to put Dana in the area where he's going to do the least harm on that day.
Love what? It. Okay. What is it? It's September. And it's a Tuesday. What is a college football coach usually doing at that point on a Tuesday morning?
Well, they've been up for like 6 hours.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yelling.
Off of 8 minutes of sleep.
Okay.
Firing someone. Screaming at a 20-year-old who makes $50 a month.
Like
presser time, isn't it? A lot of coaches have Tuesday pressers, like Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like it's prime presser time.
There had to have been at least one football coach who was like, God damn it, we're not canceling shit.
All of them.
No, yeah. I bet there were some who were like, it's not a good idea. Like, it will be a waste. Like, even if they're not being sensitive, they're like, it'll be a waste of time. We shouldn't like spend the time doing this. But you know,
they're all distracted. Like, it's a waste of time anyway. Yeah.
I have a more harrowing answer than both of those.
Hmm.
Ask Kenny Dillingham where he was on 9/11, and he'll be like, I was 7.
Well, we did mess up nap time that day. I was going to say, like, who's going to lie about
Stetson
where they
Bennett
were?
Was 3.
Yeah.
Who's going to lie about where they were just to lie? It's PJ, right?
Yeah.
PJ is up there. In likelihood, sure.
Has he heard of 9/11, though?
Nope.
PJ Fleck.
Only focused on the positive.
Yeah. He's a. I was just saying he's a very weird guy. Might be up on the news, but
I was at the recruitment office feeling
that
elite.
That is the attitude that Bill Schiavone. My next question was going to say who is going to tell you that they went to the Marine recruitment office to sign up that day, but unfortunately they had a bad back, and the answer is Pat Fitzgerald.
The answer is Dan Quinn.
Oh, God. We've never told a joke.
Hang on. No. Dan Quinn might have, though.
No, Joe. Did you hear about
this? There's an excerpt from a Fox broadcast where Jake Glazer is going, there's Dan Quinn today. And I think it was on some awful NFL 9/11 thing where they were
trying to troops everything they saw.
They were just amping up the troops button so hard. And they show Dan Quinn. They're like, that's Dan Quinn. Yeah, you know, after 9/11, he almost joined the military.
I believe it, though.
I believe it.
I won't respect the NFL troopsing up games until they start doing it to the London game. Until they're like, here are 1,000 U.S. troops, yes. London. Yes. That's how hard we believe in the military.
As always, I do not support any invasions of anyone except England. So,
we'll drink all your fucking tea.
Those some bitches got it coming.
They know what they did. They knew what they did. Everyone knows what they did. The whole world knows
the
what they did.
They slept through the lines of defense like the swamp sideways fox, at me. Chris.
You got a real fucking mouth on you, England.
I think it's the only way for America to like make the world love us again is like, yeah. There's only one country that the world hates like they hate us. So, I mean, it's either us or them.
They started it.
They did. Everything is ultimately their fault. So
Mark Wahlberg will be totally in on this. He'll absolutely be like, let's fucking roll.
I could have prevented the Magna Carta. Yeah.
Signing an X on a contract, not on my watch.
Divine right of fists. Bam, bam.
That's gotten Mark Wahlberg into trouble already.
Yeah,
that's true.
I was going to say. I know one coach, though, who has
Although
no
there
idea.
Although there is virulent anti-Asian racism in England, so he actually might feel right at home.
I know one coach who has no idea where he was or what he was doing. Jim Harbaugh is probably no clue. Next question.
You don't think he owns the paperback copy of the 9/11 commission report?
I bet it bounced right on.
And it's like annotated.
I think if I gave you 1,000 guesses, would not know where Jim Harbaugh was in September 2001.
How did you just figure this out? Okay.
He wasn't at the San Diego job yet, was he?
Yeah, not yet. No.
No. I'll tell you this. He's still in the NFL as a player.
The one of us was
coaching.
Whoa. San Diego that day.
Is he with the Chargers?
Nope.
Where the hell is he?
I don't know if he's there yet because he only dressed for 6 games. But he's a Carolina Panther.
And it's been all downhill for the Panthers ever since, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We should probably get out of here before we make an inadvertent 9/11 joke.
Mostly, I want to know if I can buy a Jim Harbaugh Panthers card. I don't think it exists. Oh, here's a stupid picture of him. Hold on. I'm going to drop this in the chat.
Sound off in the comments.
Here is photographic proof. He looks ridiculous.
What?
Oh, 9/11.
Yeah, that's what it was like.
Yep.
Look at those. Look at the sock shoe. Wow,
that is some really fake grass.
Wow. I didn't know Jim Harbaugh was a dick towel advocate. Look, he's got the dick towel going there.
I think he always was.
That's Buffalo. They were the last ones with that grass, with that like AstroTurf carpet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's where you want it to. You want it on the coldest field.
Yes.
Just let's really go all in. No chance of meltiness. No softness whatsoever.
Tiny little shards of plastic that can give you just microderm abrasion with every slide.
The two stupidest fields I know of that had, or three actually. This Philly when it was Veterans Stadium because they were like they had no padding. It was just like directly on the concrete.
Did you read the article in was it the Inquirer this morning about the turf at Veterans?
Oh, that it might have that Phillies, like 6 Phillies who played for Philadelphia in the past have a very specific form of brain cancer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because that stuff would like basically what's the word? It would gas off.
Aerosolize.
Aerosolize when it got super hot. And like, I was like, oh man, this sounds interesting. That it was like Monsanto, the makers of the turf. And I was like, oh, they did that shit. Yeah, no, that's
fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was literally this morning as we're recording. It's March 7th. I think it's in the Inquirer if you want to go check it out.
Yeah. The third place that makes no sense with that turf was Florida Field. Florida Field had turf until the 80s.
That's a lazy choice, is what it is.
Can you imagine how fucking hot that was?
Yeah.
We're forgetting that Florida at the time is largely a putt-putt based economy.
That's true. They probably just kept it going. They probably just rolled that shit straight in from the nearest putt-putt franchise.
Pirate themed.
Adventure.
Yeah,
Adventure. Yeah. Well, that's good. Dinosaur raises a lot of tough questions about science, though. Pirates. Easier to deal with.
Who needs public schools when I could teach them about dinosaurs at the putt-putt?
You could probably start a putt-putt-based charter school in Florida right now.
What do you mean could? This probably
Number one, it's got math. Number two, it's got sports, science and angles and shit.
Physical education.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As we've discussed, the dinosaurs and the pirates cover our history.
STEM.
Number four, none of the dinosaurs are gay. Want to make that very clear.
Swing, temper tantrums, energy drinks,
mm-hmm.
and math again.
Yeah, math, yeah.
Number five, gives our children skin that is strong against the sun.
Burns them into toughness is what we
build
do.
Build strong carapaces is not something I ever really thought about as a foundational principle of elementary education.
Are you tired of woke sunscreen?
I regret to inform you those people are real.
Oh,
welcome
yeah,
to
real.
St. Leather Golf Academy. We're certified, fuckface.
At what?
K-12.
Mind your own business. That's a Jimmy John subcard. Mind your own business.
Please welcome our 2027 valedictorian giant walking tumor.
I think K through 12 is woke. We do K-8 so they can start jobs in the careers of their of my choice.
That's right.
So they slaughterhouses, can, yeah.
Yeah,
that's why they call it Slaughterhouse 5.
This is our mascot, right. Jimmy Johnson.
Which one?
For the skin thing?
For the skin thing and the shoeless thing. There are no shoes at that St. Leather Golf Academy.
Just a portrait of Jimmy Johnson on the wall and in italics and quotes underneath it for the skin thing.
Who needs shoes when your body is a shoe? That's what I always say.
I mean, Jimmy has the rare alchemy of applying light beer to his system in combination with intense sunlight for the better part of 30 years. He was either going to get skin cancer or he was going to become a hard carapace surrounding a cunning football mind. And that's what happened to him.
Earth's yellow sun combined with this light beer gives me my powers. What are the powers? Loving to fish, mostly.
He's like Superman, except he needs a triple coronary. That's it. Just getting that bypass in, buddy.
So speaking of the things we've been discussing, such as football
Texas.
And academics and
Texas
and disasters and facilities. We talked about facilities mm-hmm. and piracy, swindling one another.
9/11.
9/11. Folks, conference realignment is in the news once again. And if you're a certain kind of media person, you pretend to be unhappy about this. If you're an honest kind of media person, you think, fuck yes, finally, something people will click on. Because, like, everyone secretly or not secretly loves conference realignment. I can never get enough of it. It's been around for 100 years. It's ultimately all the Big Ten's fault, as most things are. But back in the news again, because a very handsome sports website has reported that Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah are being courted by the Big 12. Again, the most handsome sports website is the one that reported this. And if this were to happen, the Pac-12 would be down to six teams. And I think at that point, it would make sense for the Big Ten to go ahead and just grab Oregon and Washington. The Big Ten, which always likes to pretend it's we were forced into doing this. We're not the ones who killed the Pac-12. It was the Big 12. Never mind. The Big Ten took USC. That's what killed the Pac-12. So the Pac-12, after that series of I think, very potential moves, which could start happening quite soon, would be down to Cal, Oregon State, Stanford, and Washington State. Four of our nation's finest schools, to be clear. Equal in academics, the four of them.
Yep.
And no one disputes that.
Yep.
But in terms of football, as well as other sports, that's an uphill battle.
Wazoo, hey, Wazoo women just won the Pac-12 mm-hmm. championship. Thing someone, they had to, and got Shania Twain's approval in doing
someone
so.
Would indeed have to win the conference, and so, Washington State has proved they're capable of doing that.
So there's that. Before we get any further, I would like to point out this is also proof that as much as we have derided it, if you have a conference with a number in the title, you should always just keep the number. The Big Ten staying at 10, calling themselves the Big Ten forever, Big 12 doing the same thing, even though they'll eventually be 14. That is the move. The Pac in the Pac 12 has been the Pac 8, the Pac 10. I don't remember if the Pac 6 was a thing. It might have been very, very, like, don't do that. Don't tell people how big or small you are getting. Just always keep the number the same. Because, like, A, laziness, and B, then you don't have to, like, put it on Front Street. Like, the fact that they might have to call themselves the Pac 6 is really the biggest indignity of this all.
Well, and between that and the money they're spending for real estate, do you guys really need to be spending that much on stationery changes?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, if there's a conference out there next to the Big Ten that buys letterhead by the warehouse, you know it's these people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you just pick the biggest number you can think of, and that's the one you just go with.
Pac 40.
Like we do it aspirational?
Yeah, 40.
Pac 100.
Yeah.
Are well, they got the Bay Area in there. They got to get Giga something.
Sure.
The Giga
Pac Billion. Do it.
Yep.
X Pac.
Every.
Yes.
Yeah, and X solve for X. X changes.
You know who's got go away heat? Oh, the Arizona PACs. Schools.
PACs, or the PA, and then to the X power.
Mm-hmm. When are those schools leaving? About 1, 2, 3, kid.
Every PAC's number shouldn't
change. Seven people got that. I see you all. I see that hand.
If you ask the conference how many teams it has, it's like asking a dude their pant size. The pant size is always one size, and then there's a comma, right? Oh, you know, it's the 34, but, you know, the 38 felt so good, I just figured I'd go ahead and buy it.
You're quoting my father,
I am.
Whose original line was, I wear a 36, but the 38 felt so good, I just went and got a 40.
Yeah.
That's the Big Ten strategy.
That's the Big Ten, man. Big Ten's like, I don't know, we were 10, but, you know, 23 feels great.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus, special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
So we're going to operate here from the standpoint of this scenario in which the Big Ten and the SEC are holding steady for the time being. The SEC still figuring out how to incorporate Oklahoma and Texas, which we saw for them 2 weeks ago. It's not hard. The Big Ten also would be bringing on four West Coast schools, which we solved most of last week. Again, it was very easy. You can just compensate us for it if you'd like. You two conferences, you're worth billions of dollars. It wouldn't be hard at all. The next three quote-unquote Power Five conferences, which is a term that is probably only going to become more comical as the years go by, the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12, got some thinking to do, and we're here to help. We're here to help. I listed these three conferences for a realignment draft, and I asked the group who is brave enough to attempt to save the Pac-12. Spencer was the one who stepped up. Ryan will be trying to bring the ACC through this round of realignment, and Holly has the Big 12, who enters with, I think, a very key metric, the most schools. That's It's called college football, and you have the most colleges, so that's a good start. So let's go three rounds. Each round will have its own stipulation. I'll explain as we go. And yeah, I think for this, so for this first round, we're operating in a world in which it's a bit of a mad scramble. The Big 12 and the Big 10 have both taken their bites from the Pac-12, the Pac-4 at the time, and it's still a bit early in the process for anyone to make any moves of attempting to cannibalize each other or to go for a really big fish or anything like that. So for this round, we're going to say the eligible schools are not Power 5 or Notre Dame. All right. So any non-power, any FCS school, whatever, those are the ones eligible to be added this round. Our other stipulation is 16 is already an enormous conference. So anytime a conference hits 16, it'll have to get rid of someone in order to add a new school.
That's fun.
So for this round, the only one that it will affect will be you, Holly, for the Big 12.
Hello.
Eventually, Ryan, you'll have to make a cut or two as well. Spencer, I think you have plenty of breathing room. So.
we got land, lots of land. The starry skies above. Do not fence me in, brother.
So, and we're going to go in order of, I think, the current power pecking order, basically. And I think the ACC is a bit precarious because Clemson and FSU are unhappy, but they're always unhappy, so who gives a shit? I think the ACC currently probably has the strongest hand. So, Ryan, you're going to start us off.
I think... I think I would like up-and-comer to FBS James Madison.
Wow.
Ooh.
All right. So you're locking down Virginia.
That's a good pick.
That gives you three Virginia schools. All the Virginia colleges I know of in the FBS level. Old Dominion. You're the other one.
But the first really good football program out of those three. So
yeah.
Yeah, the best. At least these days.
I think if you're the ACC, you have to take the team that's the literal Dukes. Like, it feels wrong not to have the Dukes in your conference. So
also, they're very close to Liberty geographically, but are not Liberty, and that's fun.
You also have a Bulldog mascot Georgia Tech can beat.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. That is handy forever. Listen.
I didn't say will.
Possibly.
I didn't say will.
Lots of things can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to bring back divisions, and are you going to put them in one?
My goal is to eventually have just a conference of Virginia and North Carolina-based schools.
Okay. That's how far
we
can get.
We call it the tobacco cul-de-sac.
God, the Range Rover conference.
The lacrosse conference.
Well, it's good that they're all close together with their cars breaking down so frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Holly, you are up next for the Big 12. If you're adding anyone, you'll need to get rid of someone.
And I am bound away from the Power 5, yes?
For this round, yes.
For this round, yes. I'm going to accede to both vibes and media market, and I'm going to go ahead and take Memphis.
Ooh, nice.
That's interesting.
Snuggle them on in there. And I'm gonna kick out Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Because they're not, they've lost their playmate. And they're currently adding nothing of entertainment value. And I think for a lot of reasons, they'd be a lot happier as a functional independent. The sovereign citizen, if you will.
I do like the argument that, like, without Oklahoma around, Oklahoma just has, like, they have no... There's a lot less disdain powering them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, their entire motivation was be better than Oklahoma. Well, Oklahoma can now pretend you don't exist, so...
Mm. Oh, but if it's independent Oklahoma State, they're calling every... Put us on the schedule! Any week! We don't care!
All right, here we go. the grand plan begins, Spencer. It is time to reveal the master plan to bring the Pac-4 back to glory.
Okay. Listen, buddy, all I need is four. On this rock, I build my church.
The Church of Stanford.
I'd just like to point out, with Cal, Oregon State, Washington State, and Stanford, you can literally have a conference that just says cows. So.
Okay.
Big Ten lawsuit inbound.
This is cattle country.
Brother, that's a Big 12 lawsuit. Ain't nobody more agricultural than the Big 12.
I know we never thought we would get it out of our brains, but it almost makes me nostalgic for This Is Our Country.
Yeah.
Run it back.
So, and this round's restrictions, Jason, are that we have to pick non-Power 5, correct?
Yes.
All right. With that, I am going to attempt to do a business.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And in doing so, I am going to pick what most people do not know. My first pick would have been Houston, but you said non-Power 5, right? So I can't do that. Mm-hmm. So I went to...
That's delicious.
Yeah, and the next one would have been Phoenix, but can't do that because Arizona State is...
What?
I assume he's thinking
in terms of media markets.
Okay. Population. Yeah. Okay. That's what we're going
to. The University of Phoenix.
That's yeah. Actually what I thought was happening here.
That'd be a great point.
I was considering Grand Canyon University.
I think I'm going to bring on the Phoenix Suns to really spice things up in the Pac-12.
They could use some new, recent change of ownership. Could do it again.
Kevin Durant, you have to play at Corvallis this week.
Mm-hmm. If you can get the organization that can bring you Dan Marley, do it.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and take the school from the seventh largest city metropolitan area in the United States. I'm going to take UTSA. We will attempt to do a business.
Okay.
We will take UTSA into the Pac-12. I am playing sheer numbers to bring to the advertising market here for television and streaming purposes. Strong.
Fuck off, okay. San Diego State.
It's up to the Pac-5. I also love that the Pac-12 is like, we'd really love to add SMU, and Spencer's like, that's the right state.
Numbers, baby. Again, this is also based on my callous estimation
right state,
of
wrong
sales.
Attitude.
Like, sales would be like, oh yeah, you should add Dallas, and we're like, fuck it, man, add San Antonio. I got more numbers there. Look, it's on the spreadsheet. It must be true.
Mm-hmm. Charles Barkley will talk about us.
That's right, so
media impressions.
Look, they got a big old market, and I don't mean just in population.
All right, so that is the end of round one, or is it?
Or is it?
Because it is time to bring in the Pac-12's actual conference overlord. Surprise. Curveball. Michael Cerber is also...
Oh, shit!
Also picking for the Pac-12.
Yes! Let's do this, sir!
How you like me now, Daddy?
Come on!
Jason, thank you for providing
Mystery
a bulwark
commissioner.
Against Spencer fucking this up.
All right. We're back. And we don't have any restrictions now, correct?
I can... We are still round one, so it'll still need to be a 9P5.
Mistaken.
For the time being.
I appreciate Spencer's strategy of just TV markets and large areas. Man, I don't know though. This is tough. I'm going to say San Diego State, come aboard.
Okay. We can work.
So this is one of the schools that the Pac-12 is actually interested in.
Yeah.
And
boring.
Big market, friendly travel.
Mm-hmm.
New stadium that's way too fucking hot.
Marines.
A football crazed town.
Yeah.
Not quite.
It's a direct replacement for UCLA, let's be honest.
I mean, yeah, it's fine. That's a fine replacement for UCLA. Let's keep it real. So that is the end of round one. No, it's not. I am actually Michael Serber's assistant GM. I am also picking for the Pac-12.
Oh, my God.
Hell yes.
And I am going to give UTSA a nearby rival. I am going to... we're going to give the Pac-12 everything at once, all right? SMU has now joined the Pac-12 as well. We have now locked down the state of Texas. It's basically the SEC and us in the state of Texas, all right? It is now the Pac-7, and we are still not done with round one because also picking for the Pac-12 is the public at large. I asked on Twitter, which school would you most want to see added to the Pac-12? And among the responses, the one I saw the most that would fit the qualifications for this specific question would be Hawaii. So we are now, we have now expanded our reach from San Antonio to Honolulu, which I think that's what advertisers want ultimately.
What we're also building, you know, is what, like Jason, a local airline.
No, Jake, Jason's thinking junkets. This is good. Junket train.
Sure. No, this is Mid Southwest Airlines.
Yeah,
I'm trying to see Corvallis and Honolulu before I die. So that's the end of round one. Pac-12 clearly dominated that one.
Pac-12 existed for years without an effective commissioner. Now it's got four. God damn.
They say if you have two commissioners, you have none. But if you have four, you have one.
You got a Voltron.
Listen, not that it wasn't true before, but the grade of weed served in this conference.
and then SMU for a little bit of the ultimate sensation.
For those of you like a little snow in your forecast, SMU's right there.
One for the bridal party, one for the groomsmen.
Yeah.
All right. We are on to round two, and let's say with all these cataclysms happening, everyone's starting to panic, and everyone's starting to eye each other a little bit. For this round, you're allowed to steal from each other. No Big Ten, SEC, or Notre Dame on the board just yet, but ACC, Big 12, and Pac-12 teams are on the board, and yes, you could steal back at a point in the future if you so desire, because the Pac-12 is running the show. Ryan, you'll go first.
Do I have to steal from somebody
else? No, you don't have to. But these three conferences are available.
Okay. I think this is tough. This is tough. But I think I'm going to, you know, just because I like causing problems, I'm going to steal UCF from Holly and put them in the ACC.
Oh, no.
It's not problems for you that I'm causing. I want to be clear.
Come back.
Yeah.
Also, this, I mean, now Holly doesn't have to choose who to get rid of because it's one of the schools she probably didn't want all that around all that badly anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, does that make it my turn?
Oh, yes. Now also, UCF has, Miami and Florida State have to play UCF on a regular basis, and that's going to make them so mad. So mad.
Delightful. It's a historic rivalry. We said so.
FSU's really like, please send us to the Pac-12.
You have to play UCF because they're the most recent national champion of the three of you.
That's true. Check the NCAA record books.
And Florida, for what it's worth.
It's right there, yeah.
I really like the reasoning for UTSA. I am taking it back.
God damn it.
No, that's really good reasoning. It's a huge
come and take
market.
It. No, you won't.
It's a huge, fast-growing market.
The battle for Texas metropolitan areas continues.
Ethan, listen, we can't have a cowboy-centric conference without Handjob Hill. It just wouldn't do.
Okay.
We're gonna fuck around and get Big Ten, the UTSA in the Big Ten.
They deserve it, man.
They're incredibly pressed. Don't tell me that's not a better school than Iowa or Penn State.
Penn State is the answer, yes.
Yep.
Okay,
so right, it's
Iowa,
time for the...
We're going to do that. Penn State.
It's okay. Time for the Pac-12's pitching rotation. Spencer, you are you're the leadoff.
Leadoff, and we are sitting here looking at attempting to pull from... We could pull from three power conferences, correct?
ACC, Big 12, or non-power.
ACC, Big 12, non-power.
Wait, can Spencer steal back?
Yes.
Intrigues.
Why did I ask that?
I was going to say, why would you do this?
Continuing my theme of improving the pharmaceutical selections, and also, more importantly, population. Arizona State, I am considering you. Come on back. Okay. Come on back to daddy.
My God, look at these academics.
Look. Hey, do you want to be here for a good time?
Who's Stanford's hanging out with now?
Yeah, that's right. You know, we're
Oregon State,
up on?
Washington State, Arizona State, San Diego State, SMU, and Hawaii.
I'm hearing that Stanford has friends.
Finally.
He's gone outside.
Yeah.
Finally.
He makes his IDs and gets his crypto. We get him weed and talk to girls
he
for
buys
it.
His, That's what he we buys do. His crypto beer.
Yeah. Crypto beer. Yeah.
IPA. That is what it is.
It's just beer with a microchip thrown into it. Yeah, guys, look. It's crypto beer here.
It's beer you look at.
Yeah. It's beer that tastes like shit but costs $10,000.
It's a picture of a beer, but it's only, like a, it's your picture of a beer.
Sounds like a Stanford product.
Bro, nobody else can look at it.
No one can drink this. He's drinking it right now. No, that's not. That's off the blockchain. That doesn't
count.
Yeah,
but nobody can drink it. Not even you. Think about how cool that is. All right, server, how else are we building out the pack? It was briefly a pack 7, and now it's back up to a pack 8.
Pack 8.
Yeah, Dana told me he had a line on an IROC Z, so we're going to bring Houston into the conference.
All right.
Yes! Yes!
The Big 12, man, had a good time raiding the Pac-12, but my, how the tables full of cocaine have turned.
Like that the Pac-12 has traded Arizona for Houston.
I like that also because this is server, you know that this is the one that will actually hurt.
Mm-hmm. He's mine now.
This is the one that will actually hurt emotionally.
Yeah.
Give us back our fajitas.
So for my Pac-12 selection, we have gone as far east as, excuse me, Texas. We have added 3 Texas schools and so far managed to retain 2 of them. I'm tempted to expand all the way to Florida, but I want to bring Utah back is what I want to do.
Are you? This is a sentimental decision, but I don't disapprove.
I mean, they're like just looking at the Big 12 and who makes any sort of sense, they're the football program I believe in the most. And like, I mean, it's really tempting to go all the way east for Clemson, FSU, or UNC, but that's so far, especially because the public picked Miami. So, boom, we've taken Miami from the ACC.
No, my perfect Miami UCF rivalry.
Now we're now we're really leaning into a theme.
We definitely took Utah instead of BYU for very specific reasons.
This is the Square Grouper League.
Yeah.
We took, among the Utah power schools, we took the Get Your Tits Out school rather than BYU. And Stanford is more confused than ever. Yeah. All right. It's now round 3. The pack is the Pac 11. The ACC has lost 1 overall. The Big 12 has is down 3 all total. For this round, so many things are happening all around the country. Everyone is eyeing each other. Panic is starting to set in, and everyone is getting wild notions, bizarre ideas. For this round, any college in the country is on the board.
I don't have to get because I lost Miami. I don't have to get rid of a team.
That's right.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
If I get rid of a team, can I make 2 picks here?
So you're just getting rid of a team voluntarily.
Yeah, but I want to fill that spot.
Maybe we do that as a bonus round.
Okay. Okay.
You're templing.
Yeah, I want Kentucky.
Okay.
I was going to take Florida here to complete the walling off of Florida as an ACC state. Miami getting stolen from me ruined that. So instead, I'm going to lean into the basketball element here. And now Kentucky Louisville is a conference game. Yeah, it's just going to, I think this is going to really achieve a lot of goals for my conference.
I think it is coherent for a lot of reasons that you've mentioned. And it certainly doesn't hurt football. Like they've shown they can be like pretty good ACC. Like, you know, they could make an ACC title game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plus it seems highly unlikely anyone's going to steal them from you. So
there you go.
But I guess we'll see. All right. It's time for the Big 12 to possibly raid the Big 10 or SEC or Notre Dame.
I'm going to do something different.
Okay.
What I want to do is take Houston back from the Pac-12, but I would like this game to make some kind of forward progress. So I'm going to return to the theme of round one, and I'm going to bring my own little Oklahoma State into the fold, by which I mean I'm going to take Sam Houston and dedicate my time as commissioner to executing all manner of corporate espionage upon Houston athletics programs, and just doing everything I can to make Sam Houston a burr under the saddle of Houston proper. I am now accepting any and all bids for large cash donations to accomplish this goal. Thank you.
This is once again geographically coherent. We are, so far, almost all of us, except for the public picking Miami, are sticking to the map.
So Miami, Hawaii is a game. Okay.
Yes.
Great. Just so we're clear. Yep.
Sure it is.
I mean, I didn't put Cincinnati in there. This isn't my fault.
Yeah, exactly. There's only so much you can do to fix the Big 12's map.
Yeah.
Mario Cristobal had no answers after Miami fell 24-20 to the Rainbows in Hawaii after running the ball 73 times and throwing the ball 8.
That's mean.
It's going to happen.
And an accurate depiction of things to come.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for the Pac-12 to go on another shopping spree.
That's right. Everybody's open here. We can pick anybody.
That's right.
Anybody. Okay. That includes Big Ten teams, he asks, arching his eyebrow.
Go get Purdue, big guy. Do it. They took what was important to you. You take what's important to them.
Brian, we talked about putting notions in his head.
I was trying to...
This includes all current and future Big Ten teams.
Yeah.
Purdue Pete's going to be out on Muscle Beach every goddamn day. You'll see.
Still pale. We exposed him to actual dangerous amounts of radiation, and he's still pale.
Still pale, but so strong.
He's yellower somehow, but in like a Mario question block kind of way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. This includes the mighty SEC too. So I'm looking at available party schools, since we've just gone ahead and leaned into that, and there's one here that sounds okay in the top five. Has kind of a football history, and I think would be a real asset to the conference. So what I'm saying are two words: Roll Tide.
Okay. Wow! That's
a big pick. One of their foundational moments. One of their foundational moments and origin story was in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. This is already a California program.
Yeah.
It's a big pick.
Plenty of beachfront real estate.
Well, congrats on retirement, Nick Saban.
No, I said real estate.
I like that their over-under in this conference would just be 12. Serber, who do we have?
Their schedule is just like bowl games they don't want to be in.
Until it wasn't. Georgia.
Wow. Wow.
Yep. You thought you got away that easy, didn't you?
You miserable fucks.
Okay, counterpoint.
Enjoy Auburn.
I was just going to say, you're taking both of these schools away from Auburn.
Sure am.
There's picks left.
I'm a fan of the real Auburn.
There it is.
I have taken Auburn. All three of you, you're locked in here with each other.
Yes, that's what I want.
And the public at large, overwhelmingly, including several media members, chimed in, of course, with Big Ten. You thought you were taking USC. No. USC's staying right where they already were. So this conference still got a UCLA.
Congrats.
We have UCLA
you.
At home. Mm-hmm.
You still have the UCLA-Nebraska rivalry. That's what you really wanted. Can you imagine what it would have taken for the Big Ten to add just UCLA? if Notre Dame was like, we will come, but only if UCLA comes. With the Big Ten, like,
I think a year ago.
You have to talk about your friends.
Yeah, gunpoint.
All right, so to review where we stand, the ACC, Ryan's ACC, Boston College, Clemson, Duke, FSU, Georgia Tech, JMU, Kentucky, Louisville, NC State, UNC, Pitt, Syracuse, UCF, Virginia Tech, and Wake Forest. A monstrous basketball conference, and Clemson. Holly's Big 12 has it looks wildly different than it did a year ago. Arizona, Baylor, BYU, Cincinnati, Colorado, Iowa State, Kansas, K-State, Memphis, Sam Houston State, TCU, Texas Tech, UTSA, West Virginia. And then the new Pac, excuse me, I think it's a Pac 15, of course, with Alabama, Arizona State, Auburn, Cal, Georgia, Hawaii, Houston, Miami, Oregon State, San Diego State, SMU, Stanford, USC, Utah, and Wazoo.
Just like we drew it up, yeah.
Which is the most NCAA created conference I have ever seen.
We're back.
We went from, so Ryan has a full 16, Holly has 14, and then it is the Pac 15. Does anyone want to do any wheeling and dealing? Ryan, you mentioned possibly like cutting a few to bring in someone. I have no longer any commissioner power, so anything you want to try, go for it.
I already have 14 teams, and I just want to add South Carolina.
Sure.
Oh, cool. Man, that's who I want.
Too slow.
South Carolina brings a lot to this conference. For instance, comma.
Please remove Boston College and Syracuse.
Smart.
I think that's
and don't
it.
Add anything. Just
yeah, I actually don't. I was going to take South Carolina, but I don't think I want anything else.
Wait, were
point.
You really?
I was, yeah, because I wanted to, yeah. Yep.
Maybe you'd be interested in offering a trade.
Holly, I would trade you Pitt for South Carolina.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
Wow. Fellas, do we want
to? Ooh, but an annual backyard brawl. Okay.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay.
Fellas, do we want to get in on this? Do we want to?
I think we have the best conference.
Okay, we're good. Can't be improved.
I think this is perfect. This is perfection.
I want to complete the national merchandising. Financial windfall that we have with
Notre Dame. I got it. Ryan.
Yeah, sure. No
give
problem.
Me Pitt.
That was easy. We added them.
Just Ryan, give me Pitt. You can have South Carolina, and I will add Arkansas.
Great. Sold.
Okay. I needed a little bit of that. I think. What did I call it last week? Vitamin Yeehaw. I need a little bit of that.
Do you want my Florida State as well, Holly?
Just throwing them in.
Yeah, just for fun.
Actually, I do. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Smart.
Good. So now UCF thought it was entering the Conference of Florida Champions and is the only Florida school left in the new ACC.
I saw your visions.
Which is, I think, the most true realignment scenario possible, is joining a conference you think will be one thing and then, whoops, not that.
Yep.
Also, I'm pretty sure this is exactly how this happens behind closed doors, and I'm not really joking.
I think you might be right.
So
okay, you guys grab Notre Dame as a Pac-12 school. Good, good, good.
Definitely
the conference that they would want
Serber
to be.
Serber just
in.
Sort of said it, and it happened.
Yeah,
just,
no, yeah.
They agreed.
Fine. You know, decades of Notre Dame insisting on the importance of being an independent, washed clean by a few words from the wise Michael Serber.
I mean, look how many rivals they have here: Stanford, USC, Arizona State,
Hawaii.
Yeah. Various orbs.
It's important to have a safety school for those who couldn't get into Stanford.
This worked out so well for the four schools that remained.
Yeah, we're really good at this. They should just let
in
us
the Pac-12.
It's not hard. So
no, you just say it, and then they're there.
I mean, it's you just start a spreadsheet. Pac-12.
So we'll do it for $1 million less. Whatever.
Jason, indulge me. What does the SEC look like now?
Let's see. Well, they lost Kentucky, South Carolina, Arkansas, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia. I think that's it, right?
Okay. Tennessee is thrilled.
Yeah. Yeah, whose situation improved the most?
LSU. LSU's situation
Tennessee.
Improved.
Tennessee and LSU.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss.
Yeah. Cool. A&M.
Oh, shit.
Honestly, Texas and Oklahoma's situation probably improved the most.
Yeah.
They were fuck.
Like, that conference recruiting-wise is like, no, it's Texas.
Here,
business picked up for Florida, too.
You say that, Server, but Texas and Oklahoma are like, God damn it, we're carrying the weight again. Are you fucking kidding
oh,
me?
Oh, yeah.
That's what we just left. Yeah.
They've been doing that shit for 100 years. For the next 100, here it is. Here
so
it goes.
Currently, Texas and Oklahoma are calling Holly and be like, hey, if we could get back in, we would really.
And I'm like, yeah, do you have Florida's number?
Mm-hmm. You're like, sorry, Sam Houston State and UTSA, they're already sort of locking down
they're sort of accomplishing what you. But you can schedule Oklahoma State, who's independent now.
So. Yeah, if you want to do that, that's cool.
We'd be willing to set up a game against Pitt for you.
Also, we've preserved one of my favorite things, which is we're still the Sky Miles Conference as the Pac-12. That's very important. I want platinum status immediately, which I get, I think, in the first 5 weeks of the season, based on some of the mileages we're covering.
What are your divisions? That's what I want to know. What are the divisions in this conference?
So if we went east-west, let me try and map that out real quick.
Yeah.
You know, you could go east-west. I prefer to sort of do them. I would prefer to do them.
I would prefer to cause problems.
I'm going to cause problems, right?
Okay.
I'm going to cause problems because we have the...
Yeah. Hang on, I'm going to cause problems on purpose.
So I think there is a pretty, honestly, pretty tidy east-west here. If we wanted to go that route, I need to move one more.
That's the problem. I knew you were going to run into this problem.
So, no.
Yeah, I think
Arizona State.
Arizona State.
So your west is Cal, Hawaii, Oregon State, San Diego State, Stanford, USC, Utah, Wazoo. Your east is Bama, Auburn, Georgia, Miami, Notre Dame, Houston, SMU. And Arizona State, they're just going to fucking party on the plane. They're fine.
It also ensures that Arizona State Notre Dame happens every year.
Yes, we have to preserve that rivalry. Yeah.
No, man, put
we're going to have cross-division rivalries. Let's just
put Stanford in the east. Screw them. Make them pay.
No, Arizona State is the right choice here.
Arizona State playing at Alabama every year.
It's either Arizona State or Hawaii, because like Hawaii is sort of like they're far from anyone, so put them in the east, put them in the west, it really doesn't matter.
As commissioner, I promise you nothing but unfairly preferential treatment for Hawaii at every turn.
Sure, that's what they've been lacking.
Yeah, no, if we're gonna junket this, I'm gonna absolutely cheat, especially because I'm going to use that station in the middle of the Pacific to buoy our profits by running whatever contraband I want out of China, Japan, and Southeast Asia through Hawaii to the east, to the west coast,
okay,
under the auspices of athletics.
Despite all the large changes you've made, you have left two facts largely intact. One, Alabama is still in, maybe not last year, but most years. This has to be the hardest division in football, right? And so that hasn't changed. And USC is in the division where it's like, God, they really should win this every year, but somehow they won't. Fucking won't.
Yeah, this is set up where it's going to be like, oh my goodness, it'll be USC versus whoever every single year.
Yeah, and then you're like, damn, another Utah-Auburn matchup.
Yep. All right. I have set my divisions up providentially by teams that have red jerseys and teams that are even occasionally red jerseys and teams that do not. So, red team is Cincinnati, Sam Houston State, Texas Tech, Arkansas, Florida State. Betty, nobody likes a whistleblower. Florida State, Arizona, Kansas, and Iowa State. And the blue, et cetera, jerseys are UTSA, Baylor, BYU, TCU, Colorado, Memphis, Pittsburgh, and K-State.
Those are pretty balanced. So
we have like
we have
like a warm cycle and a cool cycle. These are laundry divisions.
I feel like cool is probably a little bit tougher usually, but warm
it is, but for some reason it just worked out this way.
Yeah, no, I mean, the competitive balance is the really impressive part.
My ACC has 13 teams, so we will be doing divisions. They'll be but I'm intentionally gonna do 7-6.
Make it divisions of 8 and 5.
The ideal ACC record.
So let's see. We can do. Let's see one.
Just in honor of the coast, the coastal memorial.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So in all right. So I will put Clemson, South Carolina, NC State, North Carolina, Duke, and Wake Forest in a just the Carolinas are a conference, or a division rather, and everybody else is the other division.
And you got rid of Boston College and Syracuse, so UCF isn't in a division with like Canada. So
correct.
That's good.
Correct.
You know, Boston College formally thanked you for dropping them, right? They did.
I'm a little surprised you didn't do this with Stanford.
I prefer to keep
Stanford their money
alive and then torture them.
They don't spend their money on football.
It's Stanford.
They have the money. They just don't spend it on that.
No, we're
going to
rob them, Ryan.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna slowly leech.
But you don't have to have them in a football conference to do that. Just be like, we're here to disrupt energy drinks. And they'll be like, here's $1 billion.
Damn, we should have thought about that.
We should disrupt some energy.
What about Uber for elevators? Oh, shit, that's crazy. Here's all the money.
We get him in a room with Miami and Arizona State and SMU, I believe.
Yeah.
We will. Hey, attention. Yeah. Attention.
Those guys are cool, and they have great drugs.
Sharks here. I'm to pitch you on Blood Genie. Blood Genie can read your blood. It's God. You can get my phone to read your blood.
It's like Game Genie, but for your blood, it can unlock the secrets of your blood and make it go faster.
It makes your blood easier to beat.
Yeah.
For your blood.
You know how Battletoads are always fucking up your blood? With Blood Genie.
It makes your blood go slow motion, like you're in the Big Ten.
I like that we're not making this up at all. That we're like, Stanford grads, why don't you spend $1 billion on Blood Genie? I'm not going to let you ask any questions or actually demonstrate it. Why don't you just give me $1 billion for magical blood box?
Here's the thing. If you call it Blood Gin, they'll probably be like, oh, that's more authentic. Oh, wow. I'm very cultured. Like I did study abroad, so.
It's very good. I spent 3 weeks in Paris once.
We should have added the University of Paris. Paris.
Sorbonne 4.
Let's get the Sorbonne.
Sorbonne 4, bitch.
I do feel a little bit bad that we didn't find a home for UConn in all this.
The Big Ten has availability now.
They're in the SEC with Boston College now.
That's right.
And they become Oklahoma State's bitterest rival. What's Oklahoma State going to hate more than a hedgy, fun guy in a quarter zip?
Wow.
I have a confession to make, by the way.
Like one of the usual ones? Or?
No,
like
this a is
Catholic
a good one.
Okay.
So I was in Hartford this weekend. And
that's pretty bad. Yeah.
All right. That's all we got today, folks. Thanks for
and
listening.
And I saw UConn banners.
Podcast
and I was
business.
Like, and I actually looked up
business?
And thought,
haven't done
what
this
are,
segment in a
what are pod-
really long time.
Yeah.
And we've all got guns. Oh, my God. They've all got guns.
I looked up and I thought,
podcast
why are there UConn posters everywhere here?
It took you a minute to remember you were in Connecticut?
And that's the confession?
No, it's that I didn't know it was in Hartford.
I was going to say, I assume I went to Hartford was the confession.
Maybe it's not.
Yeah.
It's not in Hartford.
It's not in Hartford?
No.
Where the hell is UConn? Stores?
It's far away from everywhere.
Stores?
It's far from everywhere is the main thing.
It's not
so
in Hartford,
I think,
though.
Honestly, Spencer,
I would like to revise
right.
this. I have two confessions.
Do you think you could identify Connecticut on a map? The state of Connecticut?
You've driven through it. It takes.
But if we just
hours,
gave you a blank
a
map and said, point to Connecticut.
Oh, this is great. This is like third season of Hannibal stuff.
Do you think you could do it?
Yeah, I could spot the shape, but like, if you ask me where anything was in the state of Connecticut...
No, I'm not going to do that to you. No.
Fuck.
So you know states by their shape but not location? Is that it?
I did not know where the state university was located. Okay. But it turns out it doesn't matter because by my reasoning, Storrs is 35 miles from Hartford. That's Hartford. just count it. Come on.
Well, by your reasoning, only the city in which the state university is located can have posters of the state university.
That's true. It should be... Well, like... Who's marking out for UConn that hard? That's besides our
friends. What else do they have?
No escalators. Nutmeg.
Okay. There's nutmeg posters.
What would one mark out for?
Folks, this is what a feminist looks like.
They tape Maury Povich in Connecticut. Is that?
That's pretty big. That's pretty big for Connecticut, at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're
that's about all I can
that?
Think of.
That's still new episodes?
I don't know if they're still taping it. They did a lot. I think they covered all the whole spectrum of human experience. On
they found all the people.
Yeah. They found all the dads.
There are no more
fathers have been identified.
There are no more non-dads.
Finally, Maury can rest.
The Maury Povich Show and This American Life are really the same show,
it's
just a slightly
us.
Different angle.
The reason it's up to us now to... taxonomify the uncles.
Holy
I would.
It didn't end until September of 2022.
Oh, it's very recent, yeah. Oh, and it only ended because he
that's
retired.
So many not dads.
I would enjoy a revamp or a reboot of Maury where we still maintain the paternity identification element, but it's through a national lottery. So just every week, it's like we found four people and they're putative fathers, and now we're going to tell them if that's true or not. Because a lot of weeks is just going to be like, yep, that's your dad, just like you thought. But the weeks where it's not, that's going to fucking rule. We're going to ruin some lives on Maury. Wow.
Yep. Also, I want the celebrity host to just be somebody in a Maury Povich wig. Just a shitty Maury Povich wig, right?
Yeah. Or so Steve like this Harvey.
Yeah.
Or Steve will do it.
We don't need more Steve Harvey, do we?
You watch
in Connecticut,
mouth.
We might.
I like that Steve Harvey was so in debt to the IRS that he just like, that's why he was hosting everything for a while, because he was in trouble with the IRS. And he came up with a payment plan that was something like, it was nuts. It was something that was like $2 million a week or something that he had to do it. So like when he's hosting that, when he's hosting all of those Family Feuds and you're like, that looks like a man trapped in a hell of his own making. You're like, yes,
yeah,
that's actually completely accurate. He could leave if he wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Will Smith did Fresh Prince. Like, mm-hmm. all of our nation's entertainment foundations are built on tax debt.
Wait, Will Smith was way too young to have crippling debt.
Oh, he didn't pay any taxes on any of his rap earnings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they
that's
came
fun. I didn't know you could just do that.
So they came after him, and one night at Quincy Jones' house, Quincy Jones got super drunk and was like, Will, here's the head of NBC. Head NBC, Will, you guys are going to figure this show out right now. And they were like, oh, calm down. He's like, no, right now. And they
is
just,
that how Quincy Jones talks?
They just, according when to Will Smith in the story, when he was drunk, he's like, yeah. He's like, hesitation is the opponent of progress. Or something. Like, he had them make a contract on the spot and sign it in a limousine. They called like four people and they're like, we have a show.
This should be an option also available to every American taxpayer. You owe the IRS $10,000 or
a TV show.
You can host a television show.
We trap you on the set of Family Feud, and we make you say, survey says booty.
Wiener. Yep.
Yeah, wiener. Poop. Survey says.
Not a problem.
Show me.
Show me, but donk and donk.
Yeah.
Show me. Penis. Ding!
Oh, Lord. Oh, no.